Bonds are telling us that the Fed is done and stocks put in one of their best monthly performances in over 30 years. I'm Graham Summers, and this is Bulls, Bears, and BS. Welcome back to Bulls, Bears, and BS. I'm Graham Summers, Chief Market Strategist for Phoenix Capital Research, and today is Tuesday, February 28th, 2023. Well, the big news, let's start with bonds first, is that the bond market is telling us that the Fed is done raising interest rates. Typically, if you want to try and get a gauge of what the Fed's going to do, you have to look at the two-year U.S. Treasury. This is the U.S. government bond that comes mature or has a duration of 2 years. And this is essentially the yield on that bond telling you what the bond market thinks the Fed will have done with interest rates in 2 years' time. So this bond is typically leading the Fed. In fact, you can say that this bond is showing us what the Fed will do in the next 2 years' time. Specifically, I should say, the yield on this bond is telling us where the Fed will have taken interest rates to in about 2 years' time. And if you wind the clock back to about 2 years ago, at that time, November of 2021, the Fed was about to abandon its ridiculous argument that inflation was transitory and start talking about needing to raise rates and ending quantitative easing. At that time, the yield on the two-year Treasury was trading at about 0.25%. And following that, it would skyrocket and has since gone up almost nonstop with the occasional sort of period of consolidation to where it is today. Now, what that is telling us is that starting at the end of 2021, the bond market was essentially indicating that the Fed was behind on inflation and that it would have to raise rates aggressively. The yield on the two-year Treasury briefly peaked in March of 2023. Before plummeting quite a bit because we had a regional banking crisis or a sort of pseudo regional banking crisis when a number of West Coast regional banks collapsed and money flocked into treasuries. And remember, when treasury prices go up, yields go down. So that brief crisis pushed the yield on the two-year treasury down quite a lot because a lot of money went into treasuries. And then the yield consolidated and then began rising. And the big news, which I'm telling you today, is that in early October of this year, the yield on the two-year Treasury has essentially peaked and has rolled over quite a lot. And what this is signifying to us is that the Treasury market is telling us that it thinks the Fed is done raising rates, that the Fed will not be raising rates again to try and end inflation. And in fact, the reality that the yield on this Treasury has dropped from a high of 5.2% to 4.85% indicates that the Fed is going to have to start cutting rates sometime in the next 2 years. So let me explain that one. The Fed has raised interest rates from 0.25% to 5.5% where they are today. So the fact that the yield on the two-year Treasury, which is again what the bond market is telling us the Fed will have to do in the next 2 years, the fact that this yield peaked at 5.2% indicated that starting in October, the Treasury market believed that the Fed was done raising rates. It's not going to have to raise them anymore. And in fact, now that the yield is down to 4.8%, this is signifying that the Fed is going to have to cut rates two, if not three times, because a typical rate cut is about 0.25%. The interest rate right now is at 5.5%. But the yield on the two-year Treasury is telling us that within 2 years, it's going to be somewhere around 4.8. So again, the Treasury market is essentially telling us the Fed is done raising rates and that the Fed will probably be cutting rates 2, if not 3 times sometime in the next 2 years. So essentially, again, the big story right now is that the bond market seems to believe that the Fed is done with its tightening in order to tame inflation. Now, between this and the fact that the Treasury announced that it would rely more on short-term Treasury bonds, short-term Treasury bills or bonds that are due within a year or less to fund the U.S. government's massive deficit, has unleashed rabid buying in risk assets. We've got kind of this sweet spot in the risk profile where you've got the Fed likely done tightening monetary policy, at least that's what bonds are telling us, and you've also got the Treasury playing politics in order to finance the government's massive spending spree and deficit into the presidential election of next year. So we've got this weird window of time in which the number one concern for the market, namely the massive amount of debt that the government has to issue to finance its spending spree, that concern's been assuaged by what the Treasury's doing in terms of its financing of the debt, and the Fed's done tightening monetary policy. So this is very pro-risk assets, at least in the short term. In the long term, it's an absolute disaster, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about what's going to happen the next few weeks. And so stocks really took off, rallying from 4,100 to 4,550 on the S&P 500 in a span of about 4 weeks. And in point of fact, if the month of November were to end today, the S&P 500 is up 8.5%. So this would be one of the top 10 single month returns for the S&P 500 in the last 30 years. So again, we're in this weird sweet spot where the Fed's likely done raising rates, at least that's what bonds are telling us, and the Treasury has removed the number one concern that was weighing down on stocks, and so you've had this explosive rally to the upside. And the question now becomes, what's going to happen here? Well, if you think about it in terms of what hasn't happened, you're going to have a good idea of what's likely to come. So after a massive rally like this, and the S&P 500 left a lot of gaps as it rallied, a gap happens when price opens at a much higher level than it closed, so you've got a sort of gap on the candles of the chart. The fact that the S&P 500 rallied so much, left all these gaps, and despite this, has refused to break down in any meaningful way, indicates that the next likely move for stocks is going to be higher. Think of it this way. The S&P 500 hit a high of 4550 before Thanksgiving holiday, and since that time, it's been trading in a 20-point range. Now, you can look at that and say stocks are simply consolidating after a big run, but another way of looking at it is to say that despite this massive rally, the bears are failing to push stocks down even 1%. But another way, despite a massive run in stocks, which should open the door to some near-term weakness, bears have failed to generate adequate selling pressure to even push stocks down 1%. And this is after an 8.5% rally in the month of November. Furthermore, trading volume was extraordinarily light over the last week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. And with this light volume, it's a lot easier for the market to be moved by a few players. So again, the fact that stocks haven't sold off even meaningfully and that every dip's being bought tells us that even after this massive performance, the tendency is for stocks to now go up. The fact that bears have failed to generate a significant correction or even a 1% correction during a time in which trading volume is very light says that there's very little selling pressure in the market. Now, does this mean that the stock market's going to erupt higher? Not necessarily, but it certainly indicates that the most likely move is up. And given the fact that stocks have already gone up so much, I'd be inclined to think that we're going to see a sort of slow grind higher into year end. From a technical analysis perspective, the S&P 500 is 4 to 4.5% stretched above its 50-day moving average. That's quite an extension over the last 12 months. Anytime the market got this extended over the 50-day moving average, it usually marked a temporary top or a peak of sorts. So I wouldn't be surprised to see stocks continue to consolidate for a little while, allowing the moving averages to catch up, thereby reducing some of the overbought nature of the market before we see the next move higher. So again, we've had quite a lot of developments thus far in November. the Treasury removed the number one concern for risk assets, namely the massive amount of long-duration bonds it needed to finance in the government spending. The Fed is likely done with raising interest rates. At least that's what the bond market is telling us. And we've had an explosive rally in stocks as fund managers have been desperate to try to end the year with the best possible returns. And it's this final point that makes me believe we're going to see stocks continue to go higher. Last year was one of the worst years for risk assets on record. The stock market finished down 20% and long-term treasuries ended down 30%. Now, it's one thing to be a fund manager and to have a horrible year when all the underlying indices had horrible years. But it's another thing entirely if you have a horrible year when your benchmark is doing great. So the S&P 500 is up almost 18% thus far year to date. And remember, fund managers have to post their returns at the end of the month, at the end of the quarter, and at the end of the year. And the reality is that many of these guys and gals are going to be desperate to end 2023 with the best possible returns, because that's when they're going to have to basically give their report card for how they did this year. And that's when their investors are going to decide whether or not to stay with the fund. So with that in mind, I would not be surprised to see stocks continue to grind higher, possibly even hitting new all-time highs, because remember, the S&P 500 is within 5% of its former all-time highs. So I wouldn't be surprised to see stocks go to new all-time highs before the year ends. And it's really just sort of basic deductive reasoning. Fund managers are the ones that manage large pools of capital. They're the ones that decide or have a significant impact on price. Individual investors such as you and I, we're like little canoes in the ocean. Large funds and financial institutions, they're more like, you know, mega yachts or oil tankers. And if these guys and gals are desperate to end the year with the best returns possible so that they can convince their investors to stay with them, then they're going to be doing just that. Everything they can to game their stocks to go higher so that the year ends looking the best for them. So you add it all up, and essentially you've got the number one concern for the markets over the last 4 months is gone. The Fed is likely done raising rates, which means monetary policy won't be as tight going forward. And you've got a large pool of investors, namely fund managers, who are desperate to end this year with the best possible returns, which opens the door to the likelihood of additional stock strength. This is particularly true when you consider that in spite of the big run stocks just had, the bears have failed to generate any kind of significant selling pressure and in fact have failed to even push the market down 1%. So add it all up, and I believe that we're probably going to see the next move for stocks is going to be higher. I'm not saying it's going to erupt higher from here. Probably it's going to be a very slow grind higher, but that's the way I'm looking at things. I'm Graham Summers, and this is Bulls, Bears, and BS.